Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello out there, and happy Monday to you. This is Spirit Therapy with Nicole, and I'm Nicole Tomasini, calling in from New York City, and I'm going to start us out with a small minute of what I was trying to play last week, but didn't go. I was the only one that could hear it. So here we go, a little happy. Thank you, Pharrell. That song always makes me happy, no matter what I'm feeling. So welcome. Today we're talking about love, being that Valentine's Day is just a few days away. And so the phone lines are open, always. I'm always interested in hearing what you have to say. So please call in or type in with any kind of question you have about love. So let's talk about Valentine's Day a little bit. Valentine's Day, what a great idea that has the potential to go terribly, terribly wrong. You know, I always got to point out when Babylon's got its hands in the cookie jar, and this is definitely one of them. Wonderful idea, day of love, awesome day to go out with, you know, your significant other and feel some love, awesome. But what does it really come down to? It comes down to buy some chocolates. Buy a necklace, buy me dinner, buy a new outfit, buy, 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 buy. So that's a sure sign that Babylon is trying to sell you something. And that's why they're so interested in this day of love. So, and I'm not saying that Valentine's Day is not a good idea or that you shouldn't enjoy it. Some people do Valentine's Day very well. And it's a wonderful thing. They go and they know how to do it right, and it's beautiful, and it's everything, you know, it should be. But for a lot of us, it becomes this noose around your neck that never lives up to the expectations. I mean, I remember when I was married, Valentine's Day, you know, there was so much pressure. You got to do this and pick the perfect gift and the funniest card or this and that, and what are you going to wear? And then you got to have great sex, and you got to get along and talk to each other, and it's got to be magical. And I never lived up to that. Never. I don't know how it could with all that expectation. And we'll talk about expectations. We got a lot of topics here tonight. But so, yeah, to let that go. And I don't know why love has to be one day with the masses. I mean, again, if you enjoy that and you want to get out there and you want to do your thing and, you know, pay the extra money to eat at that same restaurant, go ahead and do it. I know it kind of sounds like I'm down on Valentine's Day. It's just because of the Babylon fingers. You know, they're kind of stinky. So that's my point on that. And also, let's face it, did buying anything or getting any kind of a present ever really make you feel loved? Do you think Donald Trump's woman, whoever that happens to be right now, feels loved? I mean, if she's in love with the things, I would imagine she probably feels loved. But I don't really know anybody that things really make them happy. You got to be a special kind of materialist, a purist materialist, to really have, you know, the stones and the marble floor and the Degas hanging in the foyer to really make you happy without anything else. I really don't know if that exists. I'd be interested to hear if anybody else thinks so or knows of people that materialism really makes them happy. I think it's impossible because no matter how many things you have, it's kind of, yeah. And it's kind of boring to be there with your stuff alone. But also, there's a flip side to that, like everything. Gratitude for what you have and enjoying what you have is a great idea. I mean, I do it all the time. For instance, I love my bathroom. It's not the biggest bathroom. It's not, I don't have precious stones hanging from some chandelier, but I have a bathtub and I fit in it comfortably and it's my rocket ship. I fly to all kinds of places and meditation in it. And I love my toilet for obvious reasons. I love my sink for obvious reasons. So that kind of a gratitude for what you do have is a beautiful thing. But I think that's different from being in love with your stuff. So just keep that in mind for Valentine's Day. I think it can also tell you a lot about yourself and who the person is that you're with, if the material seems to be more important than the connection. You know, sometimes we don't want to see what's right in front of us. But, you know, signs are signs. And so, yeah, when it's about the stuff, I don't know. I don't think that's a good sign. But some really good people can get confused about, you know, how to display love and how to feel love and feel loved. So let's go a little bit into that. A little about the fairy tales. I know especially women are taught, I'm sure men have some of these ideas floating around as well, the idea that a loving relationship is supposed to be always this magical love, and women would say, oh, well, I don't really mean that. He doesn't have to ride in on a white horse and always whisk me off my feet. But I think there's a majority of people that there is a part of them that's looking for that. And you can find that. I mean, anything's possible. But how long is that going to last? I mean, it's really unrealistic to have that last forever. I mean, it's just like going to Disney World. I mean, I'm not a big fan, but if you love it and you go for 4 days and you love it and then it's over, well, does that mean that it shouldn't have happened? No. But, you know, you don't live in Disneyland. So I think that's a good analogy for relationships. You know, there has to be some sort of comfortable daily living that we settle into, and how do we continue the love and continue the attraction and continue the excitement with being with each other. I wrote down some quotes that I will at some point reference, and I'm going to reference the first one. Got a lot of notes on this subject. There is a lot to know about love. Although I'll tell you, some of these websites are some bullshit, and I will get to that in a minute. But I'll start with this first quote from Nietzsche that he says about love: "It is not a lack of love, but a lack of friendship that makes unhappy marriage." Couldn't agree with that more. Because really, who do you want to go on the road trip with? The hot dancer guy from the bar or your best friend? I mean, you know, what's gonna be a long-term fun here and actually give you some nourishment? So that idea of friendship in a love relationship, amazing that the friendship kind of gets shoved in the corner. But in my opinion, it's the most important foundation that you can have in any kind of a love relationship. Look at our friendships. Why do we have the friends that we have? Because we love them. We're not sleeping with them. Well, maybe you're not, but maybe you are. But the friendship is the initial reason why you call this person and spend time with this person. So, and friendships can last a lifetime. You know these people that you're like, dude, I'm going to know you forever. Male, female, you know, same sex, different sex, doesn't matter. You know these people that you have this connection with that you can't imagine your life without them. And a lot of times that's exactly what happens. You do know them forever because you have this soul connection. But why? Because we don't put expectations on it. Now, that's not to say we don't put expectations on friendships, but when you really have that connection and you have this understanding with someone, those connections usually come easy. And then if somebody steps in a direction that we're not so crazy about, we say something. And how do we say it? We don't make it some big emotional fight, at least not if it works. We say, listen, dude, you know, I kind of this and that, like I was kind of hoping that you could maybe, you know, pitch in a little more or, you know, I don't like it that I'm always waiting for you or whatever it is that's really bothering you. You say something and you know your friend, you know if they're going to freak out or not. And usually they don't. They say, all right, well, okay, sorry. I didn't realize you felt that way. So again, it's not about that pressure. So so with friends, there's a certain level of communication. And if we let go of this idea of the magical fantasy world of knights and maidens in shining armor, to condense that, then we can actually start to look at what we enjoy doing on a daily basis and what helps us to also stay ourselves. That's the next point that I'll get into. But how do we communicate with each other and the expectations? Why don't we go into the expectations first? So, for instance, with Valentine's Day, a lot of people, you know, I just want to have a good Valentine's Day. I just want somebody to do X, Y, and Z. And you might try to force somebody into that pocket, make them fit because Valentine's Day is coming. And again, it's going to set you up for who knows, as well as expectations about, you know, who you're looking for and what this relationship needs to be. These are really great things to ask yourself, whether you're in a relationship right now or not. So when we ask ourselves, all right, what do I really want? And what really makes me happy on a daily basis? Again, I think the friendship comparison is good. You know, what do I like about my friends, male or female? Why do I feel happy when I'm around them? That's a really good thing to visualize if you're thinking to find a partner, to put into your visualization. You know, I want it to feel like this. I want it to feel easy breezy and happy. So there's one thing to visualize and fantasize about how beautiful a new relationship is going to be. And those are, of course, very good ideas to look at. What am I really looking for here? What's really important to me? One good thing to do is to think about the past relationships you've had and sort of do a tally of what worked and what didn't work, what you enjoyed and what you didn't enjoy. So, and then when we're thinking about who we want, it's good to keep it general. Of course, you can have specifics. I mean, I have a big old crush on Benedict Cumberbatch, and I was just watching a new Sherlock, one of my favorite shows, and I was thinking, he makes a lot of funny faces in this episode one, the empty hearse, and I thought, I really just love his face. I just love his facial structure. And another friend told me that, you know, I seem to like the weird-looking dudes, which maybe I do, but to me, it's very attractive. So I thought, well, this is something I would like, a face like that, like some sort of face that no matter how scrunched up and funky the expression is, it's awesome to me. So things like that, I think are good things to put in there, but you know, it doesn't mean that it's got to be that. So to relax on the expectations while also focusing on the vibration that you want to attract and the person you want to attract. Because also, when you're tuning your fork to that, it's also easier to spot it. You know, if you're talking to someone, and unless it's love at first sight, but you're talking to someone, you go, oh, interesting. He's talking like this. This is one of the things that that I was looking for in a person. Because they might not look, you know, exactly the way you think. You might not know what you're talking to yet. So to have these ideas of what you're looking for, that's a really great thing. But again, it has to be without the expectation of it needs to be specifically this, and also the time that you know, I expected to have this love of my life by now. Where is he or she? Okay. That's where the self-love comes in. That's where the if we find ourselves alone and we would like to have a love relationship, that's exactly where we need to be, which is, what do we want? It's what do we want time. What don't we want? What do we want? And so, I don't know why I feel the need to say this, but if anyone wants to call in, they sure can. I see we have a couple guests in the chat room. So yeah, let's talk about loving yourself. And why? Like, why is that so important? Everybody says, oh, love yourself first. Well, let's talk about why. Hang on. To love ourselves, first of all, we can give more to others. There's just more in the well to share when we love ourselves. And we feel happier. We have more energy. We can get less annoyed with little things during the day because we're having a good time. It's about enjoying your inner comedian and maybe even discovering your inner comedian. I believe we all have an inner comedian. I mean, love is powerful. And right underneath that, I would put humor. Because if you can't laugh at anything and everything, there's a humor in anything. I don't know how you're supposed to get through it. Really. I mean, this world of contrast, you could get stuck in any kind of thing. So to have that inner comedian that can just go, wow, this is some messed up, or I don't know what's going on right now, but Jabberwocky, you know, I don't know where that came from. You never know what that guy or girl is going to say in your head. But that's what makes it exciting, and that also helps to have fun with yourself. I think that's a very important thing, to have a loving love relationship with anyone. It does. It starts with loving yourself and loving the relationship that you have with yourself. Are you your best friend? Again, I can't think of anyone that can't make themselves their best friend. And we came in alone, we're leaving alone. So why not have the person that's always there with you 24/7 being your best friend? Now, of course, we've got all these parts to ourselves, our egos and our the baggage and what we're here to learn. And of course, you're never going to get it done. You're never going to perfect all of these things. But with these simple tools, you can really have a happier time about it. So that's why loving yourself is so important, because you can find more joy in every situation and experience when you're having a good time with yourself. You know what that's like. You know when you're just feeling good with or without somebody. And the whole world, it's like, oh, it's fine. Anything that happens right now is fine. So that's what we're looking to have a lot of the time. So, and then when we can love ourselves, it's also easier for us to see when something's discordant, when something is not quite right, when you're dealing with another, be it your love partner or anyone else. But let's focus on the love partner. So, you know, let's say something that they're talking about is just not ringing right with you. I think it's best to, especially in this, when we're all discovering more about ourselves in this time, my suggestion is to take a moment before you just go, hey, what are you talking about? You know, to really reflect on, okay, like I'm getting that feeling that I don't really like what's coming out of their mouth, and I'm getting annoyed because I love them, and I wish they would just stop talking like that so that I could stop feeling this way about them, which is annoyed. So then ask yourself, why is this annoying me? What are they saying? And is it pushing on my buttons? Is it just, you know, are they having verbal diarrhea? I mean, we all have that. So am I just judging? Am I annoyed with something? You know, these kinds of questions are a good thing instead of just, you know, jumping straight into the reaction. So, yeah, when someone else is doing these things, you know, figure out what it is. And when you have self-love, you understand yourself better. And it's like your compass knows exactly where north is. So when you start going, you know, a little southeast, you go, wait a minute, this is not how I want to feel. Why am I feeling this way? So the more that we love ourselves and the more that we understand ourselves, the easier we can figure out what's going on when we're annoyed, either with ourselves or others. So, yeah, and I think communication is a good thing. I think we're all learning how to communicate right now. We're all learning how to be ourselves, stand up for ourselves, express ourselves, while not being any kind of tyrant or aggressive or trying to push on somebody's free will. That's a huge staple in a loving relationship is the free will. We all have free will. We can all choose to do and feel and think and be whatever we want at any point. And there's nothing that anyone else can do about it. So that's a great compass for loving relationships is, am I allowing this person to choose what they want to choose, to be how they want to be, to live out their free will? And do I feel the same way? Do I feel like I am free to be myself and make my own decisions? Which you can also find, wait a minute, I'm not allowing myself to be myself, or I'm thinking that I need to be this for this person, but I made it up on my own. That can happen for sure. So free will. Yeah. Free will and loving yourself. They're like compasses. So you can find out where you're at and be as happy as possible. All right. So I think that brings me to one of the other quotes of, where is it? All right. Forget the quote. So do we cover the old values? Because really, I feel like this is, it's a new time for new love. And we're learning how to live our lives differently. And the world is changing. It's all about our freedom and our freedom of speech. We did a Sunday show on Here Be Monsters yesterday about the NSA and how they're listening to everything that we do and are storing it in a big place in Utah, that for what? To bribe us with later, or to try to mess with us later? Like, why do we need to do that? So the world is definitely pressing on our freedoms and our free will. So let's see where we are with our own free will and with allowing the free will of the people that we love. I think if you think about it for a second, you'll know whether you're allowing the free will or not. Yeah. All right, so the old values of, you know, what women are taught to have these fairy tales, and, you know, both men and women feel like it's got to be some sort of magical love should always reign. And And, oh, and this idea of, like, the rushing to the altar. The rushing to get married. Well, is he going to marry me? Well, are we going to get married? I don't know if she's the one for me. Are we going to, I don't know. I don't know what the future is. Is the future, what kind of future do we have together? Again, the Babylon fingers poking through the mail slot, trying to get stuff. You know, why this run for the altar? Why? To prove that you love each other because you signed a paper at the government and showed up because you're committed because you can make one appointment. Like, what, why do you need the government and a piece of paper to make your union with this person official? You know, really think about that. Well, you know, on the female side, well, I want the dress. I want the party. I want this. I want my friends to, you know, think that I'm doing well. Society tells me I'm nothing unless I have a man. None of these are really good ideas for signing a paper that's very difficult to get out of, no matter what. I mean, it's just, you know, you got to separate all your things. There's always things. Some people want the thing, but, you know, you can't cut the thing in half, or maybe you can, like the Solomon story, right? Who really loves this thing, the one that's not willing to cut it in half and give it to the other. So, and again, marriage can be a wonderful thing. But let's separate the word marriage from signing a paper at City Hall. Two different things. I mean, marriage, really, the sacred union of two coming together. You know, let's think about that for a minute. That's because the two of you, your souls, understand that you are in this together. Just like you feel that friend, I know you're going to be in my life forever. And they go, yeah, me too. I can't imagine my life without you. And, you know, they really mean it. I mean, anybody can say words, but... you know, the feeling. It's all about the feeling. So you feel, you know, this person, here we go. Doesn't mean that everybody's going to find that. Doesn't mean that it's not potentially possible for everybody. It just depends on what vibration you're on. But does everything have to be that just to be in a relationship that's working? Why does it have to last forever? Is it, you know, do we get a prize? If we punch in 10, 20, 30 years, Babylon gives you a prize. First they give you paper, then they give you straw, then you know, eventually you work up to some stones and gold and, I don't know, a hen house, whatever. It's amazing. Yeah, well, you hit your 30th year anniversary mark. Let's give them, you know, stone moldings. What? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it also takes us out of the moment. Now it takes us out of enjoying this person for however long they're going to be together. So let me get back to the marriage, the soul marriage. All right. So you if you're feeling that, you're knowing that, and you may go and sign the papers. You may not, but it's irrelevant. I mean, it's just like, you know, buying a house, same thing. You know you're going to be together. But I think that's a really special category. If it's not that, it may be that, but you don't know it's that now. All right, so why don't we just enjoy ourselves? Why don't we just do what we like to do and do it together however many hours a day or a week we want to do it together? I mean, that sounds most fun to me. That's kind of like what we do as children. I like you. You're cool. Want to meet me at the sandbox at 4 o'clock? Yeah, I'd love to do that. And you show up and you play and you throw sand around and maybe it's a good time. Maybe somebody accidentally or on purpose punches the other one and all hell breaks loose and you're never friends again. Or you make up and that's your great first story. And then you're back there again, 4 o'clock tomorrow, playing in the sandbox. And again, maybe they're your best friend. Maybe they're not, but kids don't care. They'll play with whoever's coming around. If you're fun right now, you're fun. And if you're not, you're not. And if I'm having fun with you today and not tomorrow, I might still the next day. I think that's also important. Do you always have to be like, oh my God, I am so in love with you every moment of the day? That would be kind of distracting. I don't think I want that. It's like some sort of mirror, mirror on the wall, always tell me how lovely I is. No, no thanks. So, although some people may, I don't know. I think, again, it's the fantasy of what that could be. Come on, that would get boring. But of course, it's nice to say nice things.
Yeah.
So anyway, getting back to the hanging out and just enjoying each other, because really, if you can allow to just hang out and nobody has to know where this is going, I need to know where this is going. Where are we going?
I don't know. I'm just hanging out. I'm just enjoying this that we're doing. This.
And why is that a bad answer? I mean, yeah, it's a great answer, really, because nobody knows. So, and somebody can tell you all kinds of things. I think that's bringing me to my next point, which is words versus actions. Anybody can say nice words, and nice words are lovely. I mean, Shakespeare, poets, we all need words, and words are beautiful, and words are just like music. They can move us and all these things. But, you know, some people are really good at the words, ain't so good at the actions. So let's remember not to get caught up in the words and look for the actions, because that's what really tells you what's really going on. You know, men and women, sweet talkers galore. Can sell ice to an Eskimo and you know, Joe to Schmo. So always with the actions. Well, he said this and that. Well, what did he do? Nothing. All right. So then you can't take those words to the bank, really, to know what you're dealing with, you know, and also to look at yourself, you know, am I saying all these things and I'm not doing any of them, or am I expecting all kinds of things from somebody else and not doing any of them? That's like when you're living with somebody and there's got to be some sort of mutual coexistence. I know I'm jumping on different bands, but there's so much to talk about with the love. So let's say you're living together and there's got to be some rules of conduct. You know, everybody's not going to do everything the same way. So we got to come up with something that everybody's happy with. For instance, my roommate and I, we seem to have a nice understanding. He cooks a lot. He brings home a lot of groceries. When you need something, he does it. But, you know, dishes on a daily basis, probably not. You know, general cleaning, maybe, but probably not. You know, you get to know someone when you're living with them. So what do you do? Like, I could be annoyed and be like, oh, you know, I'm not your maid. I'm not going to pick up your dishes and do X, Y, and Z. But I had to ask myself, yeah, but all right, he might not be so good at taking up the dishes, but, you know, what else does he do? Well, I didn't even have to hesitate. There was a long list of things that he did. So does the dishes really bother me? No, actually, they don't really bother me. You know, every once in a while, I'm like, oh, I got to clean up mine and his. But whatever, that's just, you know, your inner asshole, which I think is buddy-buddy with your ego. They kind of skip down the street together. He's like, ah, fuck that. We're doing this. It sucks. You know? But whatever, that's just part of it. And you just go, all right, inner douche. You know, it's fine. So, you know, understanding what works for you and allowing the other person to be what they want to be and accepting what they are, because you want to be accepted too. I mean, isn't that what we all want? Somebody who accepts me for me. So are we accepting them for them? A lot of people say that's what makes or breaks a relationship, is if you can deal with the other person's bullshit. It's not about how much you love each other. It's about, can you deal with the worst parts of them? Yeah, man. I think that's I think that's spot on. Good. And it doesn't matter what it is. It can be, you know, the clipping of the toenails or the grinding of the teeth or, you know, cooking the curry, something that is just going to throw you over the edge. You know, you may have to think about that. If you can't get over it and it's going to annoy you every time it happens and this person's going to have to become somebody else to be able to, you know, and if that's really a part of them, well, I don't know. That's where good negotiations, some good parliament discussions of the House and Commons, you know, is going to be in order. But, you know, I think that's where things could go a little. But again, if it's one thing that annoys the crap out of you to that extent, you know, unless you're a neurotic person and you've got issues, you know, and then you know where the issue is. It lies with you. But it's not just one thing. It's usually a few things, or that thing becomes the excuse for why you fucking hate this person, you know. So being honest with ourselves is definitely a good idea. That's so much what spirit therapy is about. It's the looking at ourselves. It's funny. It gets proven to me more and more in the months that I've been doing the show. It always comes back around to being able to look at yourself and not freak out and run from what you see in the mirror when we're really looking, you know, not when we're looking at the candy and chocolates, but when we're really looking at, you know, what's behind it. So yeah. And people are always our reflection. They're always, we wouldn't have attracted them if they didn't have something to teach us, or they didn't show us something about ourselves, and also us with them. We always attract something that's on the same vibration. Otherwise it doesn't come. So that's why I was saying that when you're alone, it's a great time to figure out who you really are. So if the universe and you, who are part of God and the one source, decided that this was a good time for you to be alone, whether flesh you really understands that or not, or is happy about it, is irrelevant. If you're alone, it's for a reason. So use the time to your advantage. Use it. If you're alone, it's time to be with you. You know who the relationship is with? You. You know who you should be paying attention to and loving like you've loved no other? You. You. It's all about you. Because how can you start a relationship with somebody when you don't love you? They're never going to fill it for you. Never. I don't care how much they love you. You are never going to feel fulfilled unless you love yourself, because it's got to come from within. And guess what? The sex, it only lasts for, you know, what, 30 minutes? 2 hours if you're a porn star? You know, again, not eternal happiness right there. So it has to come from you within. So, yeah. So let's see what else we have to talk about. I had a clip that I was going to play. It's a recipe for love from Abraham. I feel like maybe I'll take a little break from my talking and play the recipe for love, and then I'll continue on. And again, call in or type in with any kind of questions you have. Here we
want to say, we want you to get so consciously aware that the way you feel is about what you're focused upon, and that the way you feel is about your amount of alignment with who you are or misalignment, allowing of who you are or resisting of who you really are. And when you get that and you further understand, as we've been talking all morning, that you can, with deliberate thought, while we acknowledge you can't do it all at once, you can do it incrementally, as you acknowledge that you can close that gap between where you are and where you want to be, or who you are and who you really are, then you're not holding other people in that impossible position of having to perform in a way so that you can feel better. When you say to someone, I need you to be different so that I can feel better, you have no power. That's the pain of relationships. It's expecting the impossible. It's giving someone else the power to do something that nobody else can do. Nobody can hold you as their object of attention completely enough to assure that you will always be in alignment. And if they did, you'd be screaming and running and trying to get away from them because you would feel like you were suffocating, you see. So a relationship becomes magnificent when you let your primary relationship that you are seeking be with you.
With yourself.
When you say, nothing is more important than that I feel good. And then on a myriad of subjects, you practice bringing yourself up the vibrational scale so that you show yourself that under all conditions that you have the power to focus and feel good. We were visiting with a woman one day who said, Abraham, my son is between relationships and desperately wanting one. Can you give me some words so that I can help him find one? And will he find her soon? And we said, hopefully not. And she was shocked. Why in the world would you not want him to find someone? Because it seemed that that was what he was so heartbroken about. And we said, if he finds a relationship now, she will be just like he is. Law of attraction will bring him a vibrational match. And she won't have any money either. She won't have any self-esteem either. She won't like herself either. And they'll just bang around together, and then they'll split up. And she said, well, that's exactly what's been happening. And we said, it's so much better if you can come into vibrational alignment with who you are and then let law of attraction bring you someone else who has also come into vibrational alignment. And that kind of a relationship works because you're not asking the other one to do your work.
Right.
You're doing your work,
you're
just having the benefit of joyously dancing together. It's possible. You don't ever have to leave your relationship behind. Your relationship, just like everything else in your life, is continuing to evolve. And right here in the middle of this relationship that may feel so awful that you want to run kicking and screaming from it, you're launching rockets of desire. You're amending your desires relative to that relationship. And Source is becoming all of that. And if you, the Source part of you is becoming all of that. And if you could find through reaching for thoughts that feel better, in other words, finding thoughts that give you relief, 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 if you could come into vibrational alignment with that, you could live inside of an eternally evolving relationship that would continue to be as fresh and new as you are.
Nice. That's Esther Hicks, that channels Abraham, one of my favorite teachers, if you haven't heard them before. And let's break it down there. She reiterated some of the things I said, but I want to talk about also, you know, if you're in a relationship right now that you're not really feeling, you know, if something's telling you it's not quite right, you know, to allow that to be, because when we know what we don't want, we know what we do want that much better. And it is teaching you something, and it is banging around on all those parts of the vehicle that are jingling and not running smoothly. So, you know, to see it as, okay, this has been a learning situation. I thought this was going to be this, but it was that. I thought I was going to feel this, but it ended up being that. So to use that as a tool to make your exit. You know when it's time to make your exit. I know that, it's funny, I have a friend who was in a relationship and she wasn't feeling it, and so she got out and she said, I felt like I wasted a lot of time. It took me too long to realize that this is not the relationship for me. And I was like, how long was it? And she was like, almost a whole year. I was like, a year? That's nothing. I mean, some people wake up after 20, 40 years and go, oh, crap, you're an asshole. I don't want to be around you at all. You know, I mean, that's what really sucks. A year, that's not bad, because, you know, in both directions, it does take a while to get to know somebody, because we also have to filter through our own expectations and what we're looking for, and we want to fit this person into what we're looking for. Sometimes they fit easily. Sometimes, you know, we're kind of cramming their square edges into a round hole. Yeah, it's fine. It'll go just a little more. Again, it's an interesting dance because, you know, sometimes, whatever, it's not all going to be pegs and holes and just whoop, right, just like that. I mean, maybe, but you know, we bang into each other for a reason. I mean, it's not interesting unless we have some contrast. So, you know, there's the forcing and there's also, oh, you know, maybe we need to shave these edges down or maybe I need to shave these edges down because you can never tell somebody else really what they need to do. You just need to, whatever follows that, just, you need to. Who are you? So I distracted myself from the from the standoff in my head. You need to. I don't know what I was saying, but anyway, let's talk about. It's so funny. I have no idea what I was talking about. Anyway. When you're with somebody and you're getting out and you know when you want to get out and when it's not working, right? That's what I was talking about. So, which brings me to actually a question that that was sent in on our Facebook page, Spirit Therapy with Nicole, by the way. I'll always answer your questions. One is, how do I open up after I've been feeling hurt? Good question. Because it piggybacks along with what I'm saying here about, you know, when you're getting out of a relationship that you know is not for you. To, first of all, always forgive yourself first. Forgive yourself for anything that you thought you did or was done to you. And then forgive the other person, whether you mean it or not. It's always good to say, I forgive you. Eventually, you'll convince yourself. It may take some repetition. But to realize that you've run into this person for a reason. You manifested them just as much as they manifested you. And we had some lessons to learn. And you did what you did from your level of awareness. And I did what I did from my level of awareness. And if we hurt each other, we hurt each other. And if we didn't, we didn't. It's really the same thing. At the end of the day, we get confused in the emotions and, you know, oh, but they hurt me so much. Well, you had a part in that. You really did. Because, you know, if you love yourself and you did the work before you got into this relationship and during this relationship, if you could stand tall in your own pillar, you know, we don't become one pillar. We become two pillars standing apart to make the pyramid, to make the roof stand. So we have to stand on our own. So if we didn't stand on our own, that's where we get hurt. But again, that happens, you know, to forgive ourselves for not being this pillar of strength that we were supposed to be. Oh, fuck, I crumbled. I just felt like, oh, all right. All right, that's a great place to start, you know, and you can identify what these things are that hurt you or were hurting. So that's why we do this self-love, and that's how we can let go. It's just like any other baggage that we're emotional baggage that we're carrying around to release them. You have to release them before you can put your hand on the stove again, right? I mean, if it was a traumatic experience, you're going to hesitate because we have a natural instinct to protect ourselves. It's innate. The animal in us wants to keep us alive. Well, the animal part makes you have the flight reaction. But your rational mind and the rest of you, you know, your non-animal instinct side can go, okay, why am I afraid of this? Well, because last time it hurt. All right, does it have to hurt again? No. All right, so then When you can put down the baggage, then it becomes a new stove. It's not the same stove. And that's the second part that I would suggest. Is whoever you're meeting or going to meet is not going to be the person you left. I mean, luckily, we all have very identifiable faces. So it's going to be something different. So you learn your lessons from where you came from. And again, that's why if you're alone, it's a great learning time. You go to the University of You. What am I doing? I'm going to the University of Me. I'm figuring out who I am and what I want. So that we can go in the direction that we want. So, yeah, after you've been hurt, letting go of all of that, knowing that it's a different ball game, it's a different day. And that doesn't mean that we don't remember the red flags and remember, you know, signs that this may not be what I want. But just without too much emotion and without, like, you know, too much focus on it. So, and then to allow it to be a new thing, again, without expectations of the last one didn't work, this one has to work. Right? Like, just saying that just feels so heavy. This one has to work. Or what? Or you're going to jump off the bridge? Like, really? We're going to melodrama now? Is that what we're thinking? You know, or, oh, I'll never survive. I can't live without you by my side. Really? Because I think you can. I think you're just choosing to be melodramatic, you know, Spanish soap opera. So, yeah, to relax on the expectation of what this next whatever needs to be. And then, really, it's wonderful when we look back and we go, oh, yeah, you know, I was alone for a while, and I was like, oh, am I ever going to be with somebody? And then I met this person. I thought they were great, but then it didn't work out. And then I met this person, and, you know, some crazy shit. That's a funny story. I'll tell you later. And then this one. And then I met so-and-so, and then that's, like, an actual story. So, you know, that's one of the million ways that it can go down. You know, sometimes you got to go through a few gates to get to your destination, and sometimes it's a direct flight. It's the way it goes. So without having to be, you know, you can just enjoy, you may still get there, but you can enjoy more of the journey on the way if you're not stressing about, oh my God, I have to make another connection. Oh, another one. Oh, I'm still not in San Francisco. Oh, you know. And then also, you know, the other people will feel it. What you're doing, even in the trial people, you know, the mini relationship, the 48-hour turnaround, even in those, you're learning something. And you're also showing what your vibration is. You're showing yourself, you're showing the universe, you're giving off a certain frequency. So if you're enjoying yourself, even if you know this person is not the person for you at the end of the day, whatever. I mean, you can sit in a plane next to somebody and have a lovely conversation, knowing damn well that you have no interest of seeing this person later. And it's fine. Why? Because of the expectations. There are none. It's just for the moment. So we can start from there and relax on the rush and marathon sprint to the altar. Because again, you know, if anyone can give me a good reason that there should be a run to sign papers with the government, that if you want to not do anymore, you got to go to the government. I don't know. What's a good reason, you know, to really run towards that? Again, I'm not against marriage. I think marriage is a lovely thing. I think there's a lot of reasons. A lot of them also have to do with Babylon, you know, health insurance, names, you know, whatever, taxes, tax breaks, you know, if it works for you, do it. do it. And some people, that is very important, that connection, that it is sanctified and that we are in this together. And so, yeah, man, totally do that. I'm just saying, don't run for no reason. You got a caller.
Hi, how's it going?
You are good. How are you? What's your name?
My name is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Tell me, what's happening?
Not much. About yesterday, someone stole my bike, and then they stole my car, and they broke a window. I was pretty pissed, but other than that, you know, I jack off a lot, so I'm pretty happy.
Okay. Do you have anything to add to the conversation of love?
Yeah, I don't believe in it, actually.
Really?
I believe in God, and, you know, God is in charge of everything in our lives. It's predestined. So I don't think love exists. I think God just wants us to all fuck a lot. You know what I'm saying? Excuse me.
All right. All right. I think we're going to go ahead and mute that. Because, you know, I don't know. Interesting that God, to believe in God and not believe in love. You know, obviously that was a bunch of bullshit. So anyway. So there are also those out there, and we all know what that vibration feels like, and all you need to do is just click it off when you find something like that and keep it moving. So if anyone actually would like to call in, you know, that would be lovely, with something, you know, that we could all use that's positive. So, all right. Interesting. The last caller reminded me of a quote that I got from Carl Jung, which is, "A man who has not passed through the inferno of his passions has never overcome them." How about that? How about that? The man who has never passed through the inferno of his passions. What does that mean? To me, that means... we need to know the depths of where our passions go. We need to know what we do in all those situations, you know, sexual, emotional, the deep dark places, you know, in the inferno of passions, because, you know, crimes of passion, hell hath no fury, like a woman scorned, you know, the dude just shooting it 40 times, you know, one body, like, yeah, we know how far these emotions can go. So if you don't really know your shadow side and you don't really own that, you haven't overcome anything. So, you know, like the last caller said, if you're just jacking off a lot, well, you know, good for you. I don't know. Do you get a medal for that too? Just like when you're married for 30 years, you get, you know, the piece of origami. I mean, that's just, it's the same thing as just eating cheesecake all day. I mean, what's I don't know. Where's the God in that? That's what I have to say. So we have another caller. Let's see what this is. Same thing as the stove, right? Would I never click on another caller again? Hell no. So 856 area code. You are on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you? Who's this?
Yeah, this is Jimmy Russell's. I'm just calling in to close. I don't know about you, but I get really lonely when it comes around Valentine's Day. You know, I almost hate it. I've been single now for like 3-4 years. I can't find the right girl, and it just, you know, it gets to me sometimes. I don't know what to do, where to go.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just sit alone in my room and I cry.
Wow.
And I just sit on my IRC and Uncle B channel, and I don't know what to do. I mean, everyone I talk to, they say, hey, you know, you're a faggot, and I'm not a faggot, you know, I like women. I don't understand what's going on, you know?
Wow.
Why does this happen to me? But, you know.
I hear you, Jimmy. I do. I mean.
I don't understand. You know?
Well, let's talk about it for a minute. You know, I understand that you're feeling a lot of feelings right now, but let's talk about it and see what we can do to get you out of this place. Because, you know, first of all, let's think about what Valentine's Day is. It's a big racket to make a lot of money at the end of the day. And it also, just like, you know, magazines for women and all of this bullshit, you know, it's to make you feel like you're terrible. And so you'll buy other things, you know, that if you're alone. So let's relax on the idea of what Valentine's Day is really about. You know, it's not anything. Love is every day. It's not, you know, February 14th. And only that day. So
yeah, I guess you're right, you know.
Yeah, but you know,
and I just realized all that for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, you know, and also this time right now, there's a lot of people that are alone and may have been alone a long time. Just like you, it feels like a really long time, but I'll tell you something. From 2009 to 2012, it was a total washing machine of a whole different thing. So if you didn't start something before 2009 and really make an established thing, you really need to wait until after 2012. And really 2013 was like a real kind of, you know, getting ourselves together time. So 2014, 2015, if all of the teachers and all of the astrologers and everybody's correct, and I can feel the feeling, I don't know if you can, but 2014 and 15 are going to be totally different things. And, you know, it's been a long time with anything. If we've started something with career, if we're starting to wake up and understand what's going on with ourselves, and then if we've been alone for a while, of course you're going to feel lonely. But first of all, forget about Valentine's Day. Just know that it's pushing on something that's already there. So, all right, so you feel this way and you feel down that you've been alone. All right, so start to think about what it would feel like, it's, you know, to be with somebody. Instead of saying, start staying in that place of, I hate being alone. If you can hate it, you can love it. So what can you do alone that you enjoy? Start doing those things and start thinking about what kind of person you would like to attract.
Caller touched on that. Yeah. What kind of person I'd like to attract? She'd probably be nice. You know, probably be African American. You know, probably already have a few kids. Beyond welfare, maybe receiving some Social Security, so I can live.
Well, you're getting very. I mean, you know, come on, man. That's you're getting really like specific. I mean, you know, that's it's more about the feeling of what you're looking for. So, so is that helpful?
What I want to feel.
Yeah.
Is it helpful? Yeah, it's helpful. You know. So I really think what I should take away from this is that Hitler did nothing wrong, and, you know, death to all the niggers. And you really helped me come to that.
Wow, amazing. Like, what's going on out there? Like, you put in one about love, and then you just got these, like, trolls. It's incredible. Thank God for the mute button. Amazing. It's funny. While I was talking and while I was listening to the crying, I was like, all right, this is so far. I don't know if this is real, but I'll give you a real answer. That's for sure. And I see that we have something else, but it kind of looks like the other dude. So I don't know. I don't think I'm going to touch that one. So anyway, but interesting that even a joke, maybe it wasn't a joke, you never know. I mean, these days, anything is possible. But the idea of being alone for a while and feeling depressed about it is a very real one. Really real one for men and women. And again, you know, the men are becoming more sensitive. Not those two, but, and the women are becoming more aggressive. You know, we're all getting in touch with the other side. So it's definitely a learning experience. So, So yeah, what do you do when you're alone? I think I answered the question, but it's really about, you know, not staying. You don't obviously have to go as far as this dude, but you know, if we feel that sadness, the greatest thing to do is to catch yourself. When you feel that sadness, you go, all right, if I can feel sad, I can feel happy. What would make me feel happy? And know that the vibration that you're putting out there is the vibration that you're going to attract. So to focus on what you want, what you really want, is the best thing that you can do, because now you're creating. You're creating before the physical actually comes. And that's what spirit therapy is really all about, is creating without having to run around so much, without having to do all this. Yeah, Joseph, two odd callers for sure. And there's another one waiting. But again, you know, I'm an Aries. I'm going to keep clicking the button because it's about no fear. Pull is closed, 69. All right.
Yeah, my body is a vessel, 666, Illuminati, New World
Order. Wow, amazing how they just keep coming. All right, so I guess for the first time I'll say that the phone lines are closed. If you have anything to say, you can go ahead and type into the chat room. You know, I wonder sometimes, again, you know, I talk about Babylon and stuff, and I wonder if these people, obviously they're on the same vibration. You know, they always want to interrupt a good thing that's going on. So I'm looking at the next quote that's on the page here from Carl Jung, one of my favorites. It says, "Everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves." If that's not perfect for this moment, I don't know what is. Hold on, I need a beverage. 1 second. Hum amongst yourselves. So yeah, I mean, everything that annoys us can help us to become more truly how we are and to keep it moving. I think that's the final thought I'll say on if you're, you know, in a relationship that you don't like and you want to get out of, or if you're alone and you don't want to be, you got to just keep it moving. Keep it moving in the direction that you want to go in, and know that, you know, when things annoy you, it's because they're pushing on some sort of button that's already there. If the button wasn't there, you wouldn't get annoyed, or you would just go, all right, that's some bullshit, and keep it moving, you know. So let's see what else we have to talk about. Let's see. All right, and to have faith. Let's talk about faith with love, because they really go hand in hand. Because in my opinion, God is love. Love is God, and we are all part of God. We are all part of a one source. We are all part of the creation, you know, no matter what we are. So to have faith, this is from Alan Watts, to have faith is to trust yourself in the water. When we swim, you don't grab hold of the water, because if you do, you will sink and drown. Instead, you relax and float. I think that's a really good thing for right now, because like I was saying before, 2012 was the end of something. 2013 was a lot of sort of figuring out what we've got, cleaning out the muck, repositioning ourselves, building some ships and bridges and houses and things, symbolically or actually. And then 2014, we're just starting to move forward with the new everything, the new energy that's here, the new us, the new world. And it's with love relationships and everything else. A lot of us are starting new things because, you know, the system is starting to break down and it's not working for us. So we're creating. It's a renaissance in a sense. So we can also have a renaissance with the loves,
with our love for ourselves, with love for other people, and how we look at relationships. Is it about ownership? Is it about anything but enjoying being with somebody else, enjoying being on a journey with yourself and with this person? And when you set it up like that, you know, even if you do have a loving relationship, you can make it so much easier for yourself to be alone when you are alone. Let's say, you know, the person goes away for a weekend or a week or a month, or they get some incredible job and they have to be gone for a year. I mean, you know, you don't want to have to crumble if that person isn't there. So to stay firm in who you are and to have faith that everything is working out exactly the way it needs to work. It always is. And you are always in your corner. And if you're not, I suggest you get in your own corner. I mean, nobody should be a better cheerleader for you than you. And nobody should love you more than you love you. Because when you love yourself, you have more than enough for others. A good friend of mine gave me a piece of advice, which at first I didn't really understand. It was, give a little and keep a lot for yourself. And like being a giving person, I was like, well, but what do you mean give a little? I'm a giver. That's what I do. I love. But he said, when you keep a lot for yourself, that little that you give is more than enough. It's more than enough. It's everything. And there's always more to give. But when your pot is running low and somebody else has all your focus and attention, eventually you're going to run out of steam. So you should always keep your tank at some sort of 70%. I mean, again, you know, to keep your tank anywhere is difficult, but you know, as like a goal to be with yourself and to be in your own self-love. So to have faith that you are supported and no matter what, if you're in a relationship, if you're alone, if you're getting out of a relationship, it's all working out perfectly. It just is. So let's see if I have anything else to say. Ah, yes. I'm going to talk a little bit about casual sex and polygamy. The casual sex, you can have it, of course. There are good ways to have it and there are bad ways to have it. And it goes right along with allowing people to have their free will and also not putting expectations on it and to still enjoy yourself. I think this is an important part of the love because, you know, we're humans and things happen and we have urges. And when we're loving ourselves, that's also part of it. So, of course, to choose your partners wisely and to know who's in charge, you know, is the little boy or girl down there in charge or is the big head up here actually in charge? Sometimes we find ourselves in situations that, you know, you were feeling it so strong and you just had to have it. You know, it's just like a piece of chocolate cake. It's the same thing. My point is just to not get it twisted. You know, realize what you went in to this casual sexual experience. You know, it just sort of happened. And afterwards, A, you can feel guilt, or B, you can feel like it was something more than it is. So, you know, to be aware of that, I think that's very important because I don't find anything wrong with casual sex. Obviously, be safe. But also be safe emotionally as well. And, you know, you find yourself months or years down the road with this thing that you're just like, why is this still here? So there's that. And then also, you know, this idea of, if you know, with this new world and this new energy that we're dealing with, we may have to embrace, just like thankfully we're embracing same-sex marriage and everybody can do whatever they need to do. It may also come that monogamy is not always a thing and that it doesn't work for everybody. And so my advice with that is, that may be a thing. It may be a thing for you. It may be a thing for somebody that you're dating. Maybe they want an open relationship and maybe you don't, or vice versa. So this is definitely going to be a conversation that's going to happen. And it comes down to ownership for me. Do we own the person that we love and are married to or committed to? Does that mean that we can't, you know, go and fool around with somebody else? I'm not saying yes. I'm not saying no. I'm just saying, you know, these are some things that we may need to look at, you know, more open-minded ways of loving each other. Because again, it's all about freedom, right? I mean, it's freedom of speech, no matter who you are and what you're wanting. So if we stop judging ourselves so much for what we want and actually have some faith that what we want can happen, why can't you have the greatest relationship that you ever wanted? Why can't you have that person that in your eyes is perfect? Who said? You? I mean, sounds like it might be you. And even if it's other people that said it and you're still saying it in your head, well, then you're the one that's saying it. You know, oh, well, I don't know if I'm going to be that lucky. You can come up with a million excuses as to why you can't have what you want. But if you can come up with excuses why you can't, you can come up with excuses why you can. So to focus on that and to enjoy who we truly are without judging ourselves. And before we judge somebody else and what they're doing and they should have and why didn't they and da-da-da-da-da, to look at ourselves first. You know, if this is a new start to a new life and a new vibration of inclusion, that means that it's going to take us a little bit of time to figure out what's going on with us. So take that time and enjoy that time. And hopefully you will have manifested somebody who understands that time and takes it themselves. I mean, I think a good thing, if you're an awakened soul that is searching for, you know, happiness all the time, as much as possible. I mean, obviously not all the time, but, you know, it's a good goal. Then one thing to want is somebody else who's conscious, who's paying attention, who can figure things out on their own, that's taking care of themselves so that you don't have to, and you take care of yourself so that they don't have to. Again, when emotions come in, you know, you can feel all kinds of things and it can get twisted for the best of us. I mean, love is so powerful and sex is so powerful. So we're going to rock. We're going to rock back and forth. It's just a matter of, you know, what you do with the information that you come up with. So, yeah. So I think that's really all I have to say. I have to be honest. I'm still, I don't know if it's because I'm the only voice talking here, but I'm totally still thinking about those wackadoodles and the fact that there were so many of them. I mean, you know, I can sit here for ages. I've never had a crappy caller ever. And I got it all in one shot. I wonder what that's about. Oh, well. I think it's a lesson for me in keeping it moving, you know. So I hope that I stuck with my trains of thought. Once again, I'm staring at this Carl Jung quote. The next one, knowing your own darkness is the best method for dealing with the darkness of other people. And I definitely have enjoyed working with my own shadow side, because then nothing really scares you when you know your own other side. So strength and love, peace and love. And I wish I had a little, let me see if I can think of a nice little anecdote to close it out before I play a little more of my happy song. Let's see, love yourself so that you can love the world. Let everything come as it comes. Focus on what you want instead of what you don't want. and let it unfold and know that 2014 is going to be a movement year, slowly and steadily. So get your vibration where you want it to be and enjoy yourself and enjoy loving yourself and enjoy loving others and free will and freedom of choice. Let it ring. Also, tomorrow is the Light Brigade to protest against the NSA, listening in to everything and using our own lives against us. So check it out on the Roundtree 7 on Facebook. They'll have it posted where they're going to be. It's in New York and L.A. and all kinds of places all over the world. And the blackout, blackouts for the blogs and websites to in support of our freedom of speech. So thank you all for sticking with me, and I will see you next week. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day, whether you are alone or together or whatever you are. Love, love, love. Love is the most powerful. Love yourself. Love the world. Have a great night, everyone.
Have a good night, everybody. Lots of love.